Your Bibles and go to Matthew 19 for the moment. What I wanted to share with you this morning is God's mercy. And I've taught on this subject plenty of times, but I'm going to handle it a little bit differently this morning. I want to teach the parable of the laborers, which is in the 20th chapter, the laborers in the vineyard, but there's a context to that parable that has to be understood in order to really understand it correctly. And it starts off in the 19th chapter with Jesus Christ in verse 16. You guys can read it, most of it for yourself. There's a young man that comes up to him and said, What do I have to do, Master, to be saved? And Jesus Christ has a conversation with him and says, what have you been doing? He says, well, I've done the law, I've done everything, I've kept the commandments, I love God. And the Lord says to him, there's one other thing that if you want to be perfect that you need to do, is sell all that you have and come and follow me. And he went away sad because he had great possessions. And then the Lord starts talking about this. And in verse 24, it says, and again, I say unto you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? So that's a new question, right? Now keep the context in mind. Young man said, what do we got to do to be saved? The guy's rich, didn't give it away. It's hard for rich people to get into the kingdom. Is it impossible? No. With God, all things are possible. But it's difficult. All right? So Peter goes and he asks this question. Hey, we gave up our businesses. We did everything. We gave it all up. What do we get? It almost sounds commercial or mercenary, doesn't it? I mean, what do I get out of this thing now? I mean, you could go there. And I think Jesus answers this question just to keep him away from that. Okay? So let's see what the Lord says. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when I come back and the kingdom is set up, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Not bad. But when is this going to happen? It's not in this lifetime, it's when I come back. So those who serve and give up everything, they're going to get great rewards, right? But then he gives this warning in verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's kind of cryptic. You don't quite understand what that means. Then we come to the next verse here. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his field. See, the spiritual side, the kingdom, the spiritual, not necessarily the physical. This which you see in the physical realm is just like it's going to be in the spiritual realm. He's teaching them about the spiritual realm, the kingdom of God. But he's using the physical to do it because there's a parallel. And then he says to them, I remember the teachings on mercy. Just got to wait with me. And when he had agreed, verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them unto his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all day idle? And they said unto him, because no man had hired us. And he said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right you shall receive. So when even was come, when the day of work was over, the day is over. So he's got people that started out at the morning, early, later morning, middle of the afternoon, and then individuals who literally came in to work for him pretty much at the last hour. You know, he worked for about an hour, a little bit more maybe. So then it says, so verse 8, and when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now remember, he made this little cryptic note here in verse 30. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's the point. And when they came, they that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured. They were complaining and murmuring against the good man of the house, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? Is your attitude evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. That last statement is not in every text, but we just leave it there for now. The kingdom is like this. And so is how God deals with people. This is not political. This is not about the socialists or about the capitalists, right? It's not talking about that, although I've heard people talk that way about this section of scripture. This is an answer, really a parable given to Peter and to the others so that they're not going to be tempted with becoming mercenaries for the Lord. I'm only going to do this if I get paid. I'll go and deal with your kingdom and do the things of God and stand as long as I get paid. Yeah, I like using that word mercenary. But that's not why you and I, as ministers, as followers of the Lord, do what we do. Will there be a reward at the end? Definitely. And for those who give the most, you'll receive. He's promised the 12 tribes. You're going to sit and judge the 12 tribes. Whatever you get, you're going to get plenty more, whatever you gave. And that'll be for eternity. Now, the parable says that, hey, the Lord gives to everyone equally. He gives to the guys who worked all day, a penny. The guys that worked an hour, a penny. Is this a contradiction? No. It's not a contradiction. See, God in his word, and God is just, right? God is just. Everybody gets what they are due, what they are owed. You get, I use the better word here, what you deserve. Everybody at the end is going to give an account, right? The tally is going to be knocked out, and you're going to get what you deserve. Some evil, some good. Some more. I mean, I know that the Apostle Paul, one of the best men I can read about in the Bible, he's got a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. I mean, this man was faithful. I'm not expecting all those things. I don't know about you. I just know that there is. David will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem there. And what he said while he was alive, he says, I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord. God decides what he wants to give, how much the labor is worth. It was a penny for the day. But it's his to decide what he gives and what he doesn't give. Everybody gets what they're supposed to receive. They get what they are due. Mercy goes further. Mercy gives what you don't deserve. They're not contradictory to one another. There's no, when you're dealing with the one true God, our Father Yahweh, he has got the right. He's always just. Everybody gets what they deserve. But not everybody gets his mercy. He says, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. He can go further and give what he chooses to give, but everybody gets justice. Not everybody gets mercy. Do you understand that? You know, there's a lot of people who interpret these things differently. But if you keep the context, he's told Peter in the previous section, you who have forsaken all, you are going to receive this. You're going to sit on the judge and the 12 tribes. You're going to sit in the throne of judgment. That's a pretty honorable position. And then he says, everybody that's given lands and houses and given up their things with family and everything, they're going to receive an abundance. Not everybody will receive an abundance. They'll get what they're due. But then there are those who get mercy. And mercy goes further. Those guys who came in the last hour, they didn't work as hard as the others. But then the Lord makes the statement. These last, it says here, verse 12, it says, saying these last have wrought 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us. It's not fair, the complaint is. It's not, what you're doing ain't fair. Everybody's, I mean, you ever hear that? When you were a little kid, okay? And it came time to chop up the apple pie. He got a bigger slice. That's not fair. Remember, I mean, it's almost born and bred into us, isn't it? It's got to be fair. Now, Mom did a good job between me and my brother. Dad always got the biggest slice. You knew your hierarchy in the household that way. But it's sort of like we're hardwired. Everything's got to be fair. But it isn't. Nothing's fair. God, everybody gets what they deserve. And then he decides who he gives his mercy to. He can extend it. If I got what I deserved in my lifetime for the things that I have done, I wouldn't be going to the kingdom. It's by his mercy that I will enter into the kingdom, not by what I deserve. Every individual gets what they deserve, good or bad. But it's by God's mercy that I know this man will make it into the kingdom. And if it's not by his mercy, then I probably ain't going to make it. The kingdom is like this. It's up to the master, the Lord, to choose who and what, how much. It's just. It's right. It's fair. You get what you earned. And then, mercy. Because it's his to give. It's all about his to give. It belongs to him. It's his money. It's his penny. And he gives it to whom he wishes. It's lawful for me to do what I will with my own. Is your eye evil? Because I am good. And you see this all the time. It's in our life day after day. I mean, you got more money than I got. You watch it. You know, you watch this with everything, right? The union guys. I watched it when I worked with the union guys. I watch. You got an extra quarter an hour. You know, what made you special? I watched it when I worked at the Carvel. The kid that was 16 got more money than the kid that was 14. Back then, you could work for a living at 14. Now you can't find a kid 14 that'll want to work. But do you understand that? Do you understand that major point? And now, how does this relate to Peter? Because this is he's bringing this whole thing up. You know, the people who labor, you're going to receive what I told you you're going to receive. But there's going to be people who are going to receive first that were last. It's not going to be so fair, you're not going to think later on. You're going to work an entire lifetime as a minister. You're going to actually die for me. And yet there will be people who in the last hour will receive me and believe on me, and I'll give them my mercy, what they're due, and mercy. You follow? Remember that guy on the cross next to Jesus? He's an example. You know? So, and the other thing is that the Father decides who to give it to. Nobody else. And how much. So the question is, who gets the mercy? Those of you here in this room, are you going to get the mercy today? Okay, now. So what does the scripture say? Because you have to go always with the scripture. What does the scripture say? And I'm just going to hit a few points today. I can't hit them all. but I'm going to hit a few major points on who receives God's mercy. What does the scripture say? And the first thing that I realized that happens is that it's those who ask for it. They get mercy. You know, when we pray, I was thinking that we don't always hear people ask God for, please, have mercy on me. We hear people say, pray for this, pray for that, pray for good things, ordinary things, things that have always been. There's nothing wrong with any prayer. But asking for God's mercy might be a really good thing to add to your heart. Because I only need to receive what I deserve, right? And like I said, if I do the tally for my own life, it's not, you know, we're not doing real well. Now that's for him to decide. I don't think Paul thought he'd be doing real well either sometimes. You know, I was killed the church, persecuted it. I don't deserve anything. I'm the least. So your perception and God's two different things. He's the master. He decides. He knows what's just. He gives what he chooses. And there'll be plenty of people to complain about it. But he decides not everybody gets his mercy. And that'll become evident here in a little bit. So go to Luke 18 for a second. Those who ask for it. Let's show you this in scripture. The Lord, again, I love the parables. I love it because we live in this earthly realm. We live in a world. We have our thoughts of what's right, what's wrong, this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? The kingdom and the things of God and the spiritual end of life, that's what's real true. You can decide that you're hot and heavy on whatever issue you're hot and heavy on in regular life, okay? I walk around with this guy is in the pool when I go to exercise. I walk around. There's this Irishman there. God bless his heart. He treats me like I'm the kid because he's 80. And, you know, it's all about nothing's any good. You know, everybody's out to screw you. And the only thing that'll save you is the union. God bless him. And that's his stick. That's his thing, all right? That's his issue. And I just smile and keep exercising, you know what I mean? And he's not a jolly old guy, but he's entertaining. Let's put it that way. But everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got, this is what's important to, and who? That's fine. I want to make what's important to me what's important to the Father. This is about eternity for me. Everything else here in this life is absolutely temporary. I can't take it with me. There's no U-Hauls on the back of hearses. Can't take it with you. We're living for our Lord. We're living for our God. We're doing his will. We got a mission to do. And he has made us promises. I have never lacked, because that's what it says in the scriptures. He will provide. I believe that. At the same time, I can't make this world's issues mine. I can only serve one master. So in Luke 18, he gives us this beautiful example of an individual that asks for mercy. And it contrasts it with another individual. So in 18, we'll start reading here in verse 9. It says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There's plenty of people out there despising others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, you can't, there's two great contrasts. Pharisee, guy who spent his whole life studying the law, doing everything else, reading the scriptures, teaching them. The publican? Publican is the traitor to the nation. He's the tax collector. He is the one who works for the government of Rome. And the way he collects his tax, this was Matthew, by the way. Matthew was one of these guys. And Jesus picked him and said, follow me. The way they did this was that the Romans said, you come work for me. This is what we want. This is the number we want. Anything you collect over that, you can keep. But this is our number. So those people ended up becoming rich in many cases. Matthew was pretty well off. And they become rich because they extorted. You know, they extorted out of their own people money. More than what they really needed to pay for the Romans. So those are the two kinds of people that have come here. And two men went up into the temple. The two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I love that. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican. So what was the first guy's prayer? It's all about him. First of all, he hasn't asked God for anything. He's telling God how great he is. I'm such a great believer. Look at what I've done. Look at what I give. Look at what I do. It's all about him. I'm glad I'm not like this son of a. And the publican, he stands afar off. He doesn't even consider himself worthy to get near. He stands afar off and would not lift so much as his eyes into heaven. And he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you this. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The other one, what justification is talking about here, context? He went down right with God. Rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, that he that humbles himself shall be exalted. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. What does the publican deserve? He's going to get what he deserves, right? Then God's mercy. God answered that prayer. He was merciful unto him. And he went down justified. The other guy, I did it all. I did it right. I am cool. I have locked it. I've been beating this thing out, Lord. I am good at doing your Bible. Go ahead and tell God how great you are. He'll get what he deserves. But mercy? I don't see it. Again, these are lessons, spiritual lessons, put into very specific, very understandable, you know, things that you can see in real life. I bet you've met both people. Different categories, but I bet you've met both people. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Yahweh. Don't remember my sins of my youth or my iniquities. According to thy mercies. See, this is when it's prayed and you ask the Lord for mercy. It's one of the things that I think is necessary. You ask God for mercy in your life. You want to tell him how great you are. And, oh, I'm doing great this week. Put it in perspective. Ask God for his mercy. Ask it. And then Psalm 41. A couple more on this point. You know, did David sin? Premeditated murder. Okay? Premeditated murder and adultery. He asked God for forgiveness, and God, by his mercy, forgave him. Now, he still had, it says that the sword never left his house. That was the consequence in this lifetime. His children turned against him, they betrayed him, killed, blood all over the place. But God has promised David in the scriptures that David in the kingdom to come is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Not because he was premeditated murder, not because he deserved it. It's because he asked for God's mercy. That's powerful. You know, some of us get trapped in our own head. You know, 41:14, Psalm 41:14. Well, there ain't no 14. Huh? That's what I wrote down, but it ain't there. So let's go to Psalm 86. In Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, but thou, O Yahweh, are a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, have mercy upon me, give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaiden. Ask for God's mercy. The people who get it are the people who ask for it. And Hebrews chapter 4, it's the same truth continues all the way through. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The second thing that I want to bring to your attention, who receives mercy? He gives it to those who give it. If you don't give it, you don't get it. And we're going to go to the parable again in Matthew 18. I think it's a major lesson. It's something that's repeated often in Scripture. And it doesn't have any middle ground, gray space in it. At least none that I've seen. Matthew 18 and verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto them, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times 7. Just keep forgiving." In other words, it's an exaggeration. Just, there's no number here. Just keep forgiving. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one had brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a number that's beyond anybody's capability of paying off. It's probably like our government. You know, billions and billions and billions. Just think about it that way. "But for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt." He just wiped it out. Okay, it's forgiven. He was moved with compassion. He gave it. You asked for mercy. You asked for help. Verse 28, "But the same servant, he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a considerably smaller sum. And he laid hands on him." It wasn't nice. "And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, that I may pay thee all. And he would not, but he went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he was done, they were very sorry, and they came and they told the Lord, their Lord, all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desired me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? And his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors until he paid all that was due unto him." And the point Jesus makes, and he tells you what the point is on the parable. The point is, so likewise shall my Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not every one his brother's trespasses. Period. Go to Matthew 5. In Matthew 5 and in verse 7 it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The ones who give their mercy, they get the mercy. The ones who give what they have received, the compassion and forgiveness, they're the ones that get the forgiveness and the compassion. The ones who don't give it, don't get it. Quite something. Then Matthew 6, just to top this particular one off. You know, and again, this is the second item that I wanted to bring before you that I looked at that's important. These are not the only ones. But again, if you want God's mercy in your life, if you want to walk out of here with God's mercy, then ask in prayer. And this particular one here, you've been forgiven, then forgive. If you've been shown mercy, then give it. If you don't choose to give it after you've received mercy, well, it's taken back. You know, these are things that you have to self-examine your own head on. I got to deal with mine, right? So if I got an issue with an individual, family member, whatever the heck it is, and I'm not showing, well, you know what? That's a tragedy. That's a disaster in the making on my own. In Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer gives the same thing here. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us as we forgive. And then at the conclusion of that in verse 15, it says, but if thou forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, that's thus saith the Lord. There's an awful lot of people out there that call themselves Christian that have awful kind of issues with everybody else in life. Some just and unjust. But what have you been given? How much have you been forgiven for? What does your life look like? Let alone what Adam gave you. So tell me that you can't forgive. And that's, what do you do with that? There's only one thing to do. You either believe it or you don't. You either reject it or you accept it. That's it. One more thing I want to bring to your attention. And I think this is a big one, and I think that a lot of people want to skip this one over. The third thing I want to give, he gives mercy to those who do not abuse his mercy. Judas. Just one word. Gives you a flood. You know, I believe that Judas hung himself after the Lord ascended up into heaven. I know that most Christian people, their traditions, says that Judas killed himself right after Jesus Christ was crucified. But that's not true, according to Scripture. Judas killed himself after the Lord ascended. You know, Judas saw Jesus Christ after the crucifixion in his resurrected body, that Jesus Christ continued to keep Judas around all the way through those 40 days, that he was standing there when Jesus invited them all to go back to Jerusalem and remain there until the promise of my Father is given. And Judas couldn't deal with it and killed himself then. Was Judas thrown out? How many times can you do the same stupid thing and not change and go to God, be merciful unto me, forgive me, Father, help me, Father, forgive me, I'm sorry about this, and then in the back of your mind saying, now, if I do it again, I can ask for forgiveness again. If I do it again, I can ask for forgiveness. There does come a time where it runs out. You use God's... Now, Judas is one. I wanted to make his short, but there is a limit. I don't know where that limit is. You want to try? Do you want to test it? Do you want to play God? See, this is what, you know, there was a famous old guy once said, you know, the guy, he was dying, his old man, he was dying, he lived the life of hell. And then the guy came up to him and said, do you want to confess your sins? The priest came, confess your sins before you meet your maker. He says, what for? God's in the business of forgiving. He'll forgive me. Ain't. Wrong answer. Go to Luke 24, or 22, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold, the multitude that he that had called Judas, one of the 12, they went before them, and he drew near to Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Just wanted to read that. And you let this guy back? We're talking forgiveness here. What, you know. Jesus is going to hang on the cross in 48 hours. He says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But there was a warning to Judas. The warning was, the one who betrays the Son of Man, it'd be better for him not to have been born. It'd really be better for you not to have been born. So did he get what he deserved? He was offered mercy. He was offered continuance. He was offered the Holy Spirit. He was offered fellowship with the Lord. Go to Hebrews 10. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law that died without mercy under two or three witnesses. For how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy? Should he deserves he be thought worthy, who had trodden under foot the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and that hath done destitute unto the Spirit of grace. Despise the Spirit of grace. Trodden underfoot the Son of God and the covenant. You turn away, you've been around, you've been taught, and you turn, and you stay turned. How much more are you worthy of? It's due you. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Everybody gets what they deserve. Some get mercy. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance. But instead of going that way, guys, call to remembrance the former days in which thou, after you were illumined, you endured a great fight of affliction. You endured. The world, everybody's got everything. They got all kinds of stuff flying. How about you? Where's your head? Where's your heart? Is it in the kingdom that's coming? Is it in the spiritual realm? Or is it in the worldly realm? You got things that you need to take care of? Take care of them. Deal with it. Take care of it. Whether it's usually big things of forgiving others, take care of yourself. Forgive yourself. It's not about you. And then do what the word says. What you want, you give. And that's a principle. You know, you receive not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. You got it all together. You got this whole category of whatever it is in your head together. Good. Ask what the Lord thinks about it. And, you know, there are many people and there's whole churches. And for God forgive, that's what I learned when I started out. You confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised them from the dead, you'll be saved. No faithfulness, you know, just one-time deal, you're done. That's a lie. I believed it once upon a time. And then people used it as a license to sin. A play God. Now, again, there are people who do it ignorantly. God will give whatever is due. And then he'll choose who gets his mercy. Says, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And to whom I harden, I harden. God's just. All I know is that you look at the scriptures, who gets the mercy? Read it. Read it. One more scripture I want you to go to is Ephesians. Chapter 4. I'm not going to take the time to read the whole. You can read it. From verse 17 on, it's talking about putting on the new man, chapter 4, right? Put on the new man, get rid of the old man, and because you don't want to be like them. At the end of this, it says, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you walk by the new nature, you won't grieve the Spirit of God within you. If you don't, if you walk by the old nature, you grieve the Spirit that you got within you. You grieve God in Christ. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave you because Jesus died for you. He did it for Christ's sake. He sent his son to die. His son paid for those sins. And God judges for Christ's sake. He has forgiven us. We are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. The same way. And if you don't give it, you don't get it. And the reason I do it, the reason I got someone who has done me so wrong. The reason I gave up the hate that I had when I was young. The reason I did was for Christ's sake. He had given me so much, paid so much, done so much, that for his sake, I would do it. And I changed my life. And I went from bondage to freedom. I went from bondage to liberty in Christ. That's what I wanted to share with you. Who gets the mercy? Study the scriptures. Look at it. There's a lot more in there. But I gave you three. The ones who ask. The ones who ask for it. The ones who give it. They get the mercy. And the ones who don't take, don't play with God. They don't treat him like he's a fool. Because there is an end. Yeah, you take a guy and he, just a little illustration, right? You take a drug addict. Now these people, they got my compassion. Getting off anything that you're hooked to. But again, so you help them, you get them off, they straighten out, they fall back in. You, as a Christian, you help them, you get them, you do your best, you help them, you support them, they go back in. You help them, you support them, he goes back in. There comes an end. Right? Because really, after a while, it's he doesn't really want to help. Same thing, you use a sillier illustration. That's a harder one. Sillier one. You know, it was like Burt Reynolds swimming out to kill himself in the movie. Remember that? And he says, oh, God, he gets out there. He's going to drown. He says, oh, God, help me get back. I'll change my whole life. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do the other thing. You remember that movie? He gets back, and then he goes, I can work my way out of that promise. Go back to the way I was doing things. So you get a person like that. Oh, you know, God, help me, help me, help me. Get back to shore. He's saved. Oh, thank you. I owe you everything. Then he goes back out in the ocean again, starts drowning. How many? After a while, you realize the man really wants to drown. God decides those things. I have received more compassion than what I can give. I have received more forgiveness than what I can give. I have received more mercy than what I'm than what I can give. So I can't stop giving it or trying. But God knows when he's being played.